Come to Joshua chapter 6, an amazing event is taking place. God loved those people of Israel. We talked about that. God so wanted to bless them and show the world that He was their God. You know, He wants to do that for you. He wants the world to see your life and say, boy, they've got something. God was blessing Israel. God delivered Israel from Egypt. We heard sung about they went across on dry land through the Red Sea and they went into the wilderness. And you remember that story? How that as they went through the wilderness, God provided miraculously for them. I'm going to ask you to pay attention real good for me, okay? Because I like to be a sweet and kind person, but if you're goofing around while I'm preaching, I'll embarrass you if you take that challenge. Okay, so please pay attention. I appreciate that. And we find that as the children of Israel went through the wilderness, you remember they came to the opportunity there in Kadesh Barnea. They could have gone into the land of Canaan. It was what God promised them. Do you know that every one of us that are saved tonight, if you're born again, if you can remember a place where God convicted your heart and somebody showed you from the Scripture how to call upon the Lord with a repentant heart and trusting the Savior, and you were born again. You know, if you're born again tonight, the Lord has promised you an abundant life.
Amen.
He didn't just come to give you life. He came to give you life more abundant.
Amen.
I have to tell you, being a preacher's kid, growing up around Christians all my life, sometimes I've had to look and say, dear Lord, what happened to that abundant life? Why is it so many of God's people look so miserable? But God has promised that to us, just like He promised to the children of Israel, the land of Canaan, the place of victory. A place where He would fight their battles for them. They'd just be obedient. But you remember the story, they sent those spies into the land of Canaan. You know, that was the First Baptist Committee. They came back, and like most Baptist committees, the majority of them were negative. I can't do it, preacher. We've never done it that way before, preacher. They came back and 10 out of the 12 gave a negative report. And the crowd listened to those 10 rather than the two that said, God promised it to us. Those giants aren't bigger than God. He can handle it. But they turned back. They turned back for those next 40 years until that generation died. Carcasses fell in the wilderness. But can you imagine for Joshua and Caleb? I mean, they were the two that were faithful and said, we trust God. We know God can give us what He promised. But they, with the others, had to spend all those years wandering around the wilderness. Caleb said, I want that mountain.
Amen.
And they stayed faithful and kept their eyes on the Lord until that opportunity came when that other generation had died and Caleb and Joshua were still alive and they got the opportunity to go into the land of Canaan.
Hey.
Can you imagine how exciting? Some of you folks have been a member of this church for a long time. You've gone through some tough times, discouraging times. Every church does. Yeah. Well, the devil isn't going to sit idly by when anything good happens. Some of you, man, you prayed and you lingered and you hungered. God will raise up this church to be a lighthouse for Christ.
Amen.
It's exciting when you start seeing it happen, isn't it?
Amen.
Can you imagine how Joshua felt as finally they crossed over that Jordan? God parted those waters and they walked over on the Jordan and entered into the land of Canaan. Oh man, they've been waiting for this a long time. Go to that first battle, and you remember the story about Jericho. Boy, I love that story. They come to that walled city of Jericho. It looked impossible. But can I tell you something? God majors on the impossible. God called Joshua aside because Joshua knew something about strategy and battle and warfare. Now, I can imagine Joshua planning this thing out. Boy, you know, we're going to get over. I know how we can approach this battle. And the Lord pulled Joshua aside and He said, this is how I want you to fight the battle. Joshua to meet with his captain, his Lord.
Yeah.
And listen to his plan. It far superseded what man can come up with. Though it didn't make much sense to most men. Joshua wants you to march around the wall. Okay, when did we drop the bomb? No, not going to drop any bomb, Joshua. But you just march around the wall. Come back the next day. March around again. Do it again. Do it again. That last day, march around 7 times. I'm going to make those walls cave in.
Yeah.
And God did.
Right.
Boy, can you imagine how exciting? I mean, we've been waiting all these years to get into Canaan. And our first battle, man, look what God does.
Yeah.
Man, ain't that exciting? That's where we pick up in Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So God's given them specific instructions now with the city is conquered. Don't go in as the custom was and spoil the city. Take the valuable things unto yourselves. In this case, those things of value are sanctified unto the Lord. They're to be brought to be put into the treasury house of the Lord. Don't mess with that. That's not yours to mess with.
Right.
This is not the message, but I just feel led to mention that's what God says about the tithe.
Yeah.
The tithe is the Lord's. It's not yours to decide what to do with.
Right.
It's already set apart and sanctified unto Him. You mess with that, you're bringing a curse. We won't go any further on that right now. But the Lord gave them specific instructions. Don't touch any of those things. Jump down to verse 24 with me. And they burnt the city with fire, all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury, the house of the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel, now y'all notice that. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You see, one of the bunch didn't follow the rules. He took some of the gold and the silver, a Babylonian garment. He thought, what's a big deal? One out of all of the children of Israel. I mean, that's not much. I'm just keeping a little bit. Go down to verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their head. Now, let me explain to you what's happening. After Jericho, they went to fight another battle. Hey, they just had a great victory. I mean, God won that battle in amazing fashion, amen? Now they're going to fight against Ai. Ai was just a little podunk horror place compared to Jericho. Ai was just a little Vietnam. I mean, wasn't much to have to conquer an Ai. And in this incident, Joshua didn't take time to meet with his Lord. He didn't get instructions. He figured we can handle this. It's what a lot of us Christians do along the way. God gives us a victory, we think we're okay, we can handle the next one. And so God let them handle that next one. They went to Ai, this little town, and they got whipped.
was coming. I'm displeased with you because this man has taken the accursed thing. So it tells us here in verse 6 that Joshua goes praying. In verse 7, he said, Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou all brought the people over Jordan to deliver us under the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan? O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and shall cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Oh, what a sad thing. Here's Joshua. God, what's going on? Man, all these years we've waited, we've gotten over there now. In the Canaan, you promised to win fire battles for us, and boy, we saw it, Lord, at Jericho, but then look how we were embarrassed at Ai. Word's going to get around, Lord. Your name's going to be ruined. Our names are going to be a laughing stock among your enemies. We'd have been better off side of Jordan. God, what's going on? And God said, hey, Joshua, get up off your face. It's not time to pray. I want to preach tonight on when praying isn't what you need. When praying isn't what you need. Sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? We know we've got to pray for the Bible. But there is a time when God says, praying is not what you need, child. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, meet with us tonight and pray. Holy Spirit of God, more than anything in the world, you need to meet with us tonight. Lord, I don't know the people that are here, you know them. But I know you're true. I sure want to be used tonight to help people practice. God, help us tonight. My heart was blessed with the humility and the blood that could be invested with trust. Those problems had no life. Oh, God, help us to be humble tonight. Help us to be honest with you tonight. Oh, God, we need you. We need you to fight our battles. We can't win these victories on our own, Lord. Even as your lady testified, she's thankful that her child doesn't have to face all the wild wickedness of this world. Lord, we're nothing without you. We can't stand against Satan without you, Lord. Please help us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, as I yield as best I understand now, please fill me tonight. Do me your power. Bless and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 19 of Joshua 7. And Joshua said unto him, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under. What a joke. You can't hide anything from God. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran under the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua. And unto all the children of
them out before the Lord. Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them under the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." What a tragic story. You see Joshua's excitement as he gets into Jericho. When does he see that great victory take place? And then suddenly, his bubble is burst. And Ai, and he's weeping and he's praying. And God said, "Joshua, get up. It's not time to pray right now. There's sin that needs to be dealt with." Sometimes we're praying for revival, but God's saying, praying's not what you need. There's some sin you need to deal with. Psalmist said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." The word regard means to hold as dear. Can I ask you tonight, Christian, what sin is precious to you? What sin do you hold dear? What is it that you really embrace? Maybe nobody else knows about it, but you and your heart know exactly what I'm talking about. Because the Spirit of God's revealing it to you right now. What is it that's important to you that God's displeased with? Our nation's in tragic condition tonight. And there's people all over this nation praying for revival. There's good men like your preacher all over this country begging God for revival. Do you not believe that God wants to send revival more than we want it?
Amen.
So why is it not coming? Why are we seeing the nation continue to decay? I read in the bulletin, the preacher showed me where he put in the bulletin for you. You know, is this the NFL or the NBA and all of the great offenses against society that have been committed? It wasn't either. It was our government leaders.
Right.
And we're in a mess.
Yes.
I used to worry, "Dear God, what's going to be like for my children?" Now I worry, "God, what's it going to be like for my grandchildren?" We're in a mess, and I'm afraid oftentimes we're praying for revival and just faith. God's saying, praying's not what you need.
Amen.
Our churches are in bad shape. Not seeing the blessings of God as we used to see and want to see. And we're praying, "God, bless our churches and send us souls. And God, help us to reach our cities for you." And just maybe God's looking down and saying, praying's not what you need. You can get honest about some sin. Our personal walks with God are in bad shape. We used to hear about the old revivals where folks would be at the altar sometimes till midnight and 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning weeping and praying and getting a hold of God. But we're so busy today, we don't have time for that, do we? Maybe God's just saying, praying's not what you need right now. Notice how this happened. How this man ended up affecting that entire nation of Israel. Sin always takes the same path. You see there in verse 21 where it says, when I saw a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. That's the way it always begins. You see, you covet, and then you take. And the devil knows that if he can work on giving you the opportunity to see through the eye gate, sinful things,
right,
it will begin to be pondered in. your mind to where you will covet because of your old nature, and you will take it. A preacher friend of mine whom I love dearly called me several years ago. He said, "Brother Booth, man, my heart's just ripped out. One of our finest young couples in our church. I mean, they were involved in everything. They had been to Bible college. I mean, a fine young couple in the church, independent fundamental Baptist church that takes a stand on truth." And he said, "Man, I get a phone call late at night, and the man is just beside himself." And he said, "Preacher, I got home late from work tonight, and my wife is gone." He said, "Well, what in the world happened?" He said, "She left a note and said, don't come looking for me." He began to get on their computer, began to investigate the computer, and she'd been on one of those stupid chat lines and met some idiot that she had never met before and believed all the garbage he was telling her on that chat line. Can I tell you something? God have mercy on you, Baptist, if you waste your time on some wicked chat line talking to people you have no idea who you're talking to. And she ended up being convinced of this guy that she had a horrible life with her husband, left her husband and three little girls. He did his best to try to determine where it was coming from, and he was able to find that at least it was in the United States somewhere, but he didn't know an address. Men of the church were called and came together that night in the middle of the night. Began to beg God, "God, somehow, let us find out where she's at." Sure enough, a phone call came. It was her. In a whisper and a panicked voice, "Please, gotta find me. He's holding me hostage. I found a piece of mail. He's asleep right now, but I can't get out without him knowing. Here's the address." They called in a different state, called the police. Police got right on it. The preacher and him took off in the car and drove half the night to get there. A Sunday school teacher in an independent Baptist church. See, sin always follows the same program. He saw, he coveted, he took. Remember when David came home from the battle, when he should have been at the battle, and he looked over the banister and he saw Bathsheba? He desired her, and he took. It always follows the same program. It did with Eve when she saw that the fruit was good. She desired it, and she took it.
Yeah.
You see, what you think will always affect the desires, which will affect what you do. That's why you better be careful what you're looking at on that computer.
Yeah.
That's why you better be careful what you're watching on that television.
Right.
That's why you better be careful what's going on that VCR,
yeah,
DVD player. But you set your eyes on. Let's listen to me tonight. There is a real devil, and he knows his game well. And he's not concerned about playing fair, friend. And if he fooled Adam and Eve in a perfect environment, do you not think he can fool you easily? Well, what a tragic thing happened. I mean, look at it. They'd gone into Canaan now. They'd waited. But I'm sure that Achan never thought in his mind of what effect that sin would have. But it had a wide effect. And I want to show you some things tonight about the effect of sin. You see, you don't just live unto yourself. Your sin doesn't just affect you. Oh, nobody knows about it. God does. And you don't understand, even though your wife or your spouse or your children may not know about it, it affects them because God's blessings are affected for the family. And us men have better be careful because God holds us responsible. We like to, the one verse we have down good is submission for our wives. But you know, the Bible only gives that because God always puts things in order, and He allows us men and gives us the responsibility of being the head of the home.